Well, this week we are beginning our series called The Vow. And if you hopefully received one of these papers, ask you to take this out. On the front is really just something you can kind of look at devotionally with your spouse, with a group of people later in the week. And on the back, you can take some notes if you so desire, if that's how you learn, if that's the way that it works for you. But for those of you both in person and online, we believe it's no accident that you're here, because we believe that God wants you to know what he has to say about relationships, specifically this relationship that's a gift that he gives us called marriage. And so I don't know if you've noticed, but relationships are struggling right now. Have you been online to try to see how people engage with one another? Have you tried to engage with others and maybe you can't because of distancing, because of COVID, and you really want to talk to somebody, but you don't want to do it over the phone? It's got to be in person, and it's really hard because maybe that you can't or they can't meet. It's a tough situation. And then that doesn't even get us into marriages. Some marriages are struggling because there's one of the spouses that are on the road a lot, and now all of a sudden, they're home a lot. And the other spouse is like, you got to go. When are you going to get back on the road? Like, your rhythm is thrown off. And so now you're not engaging in conversation like you used to. It's harder. It's like pulling a rope. You're not pushing a rope. You're not getting anywhere. And so if relationships are struggling, this is something that God shows is not pleasing to him. He prefer us to have reconciliation. He prefer for us to work on our relationships. And so for the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do is the family of grace is we're going to look at marriage and relationships and look at what are four vows that we can look at. And this series is for whether you are married or you're not married. Whether you are young or you are older, whether you have been married and now you find yourself due to death or divorce, no longer married, whether you are about to be engaged to be married, or you're really, really hoping you find somebody that you can marry, or you've been married for a year or for 50 years, this series is for you. And if you're like, man, I have no desire to ever get married either again or ever, then this series is for you as well. Because relationships, it helps you focus on the priority of relationships and what this looks like and how it can help you even in relationships when you're not married. What I want you to have is something that you have in your toolbox where later you can't go, man, I wish I would have known that so many years ago. See, God wants us to see what this gift of marriage can become, or hopefully already is. And so if I can get a little help from y'all today, because I'm curious, starting with the ladies, I want to take a little survey, okay? So how many of you fantasized when you were a little girl about having the perfect wedding, at the perfect venue, whatever church or place you wanted to get married, with the perfect guy and the perfect kids that you didn't even have, but you already had them named? Anybody have that fantasy as a lady? Yeah, raise your hand. See, quite a few of you. Now, for guys, let's take a little survey. Did y'all have any kind of fantasy like that? Or was it like, man, I really want a big garage in my house after I get married? That was, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you think about, well, who you're going to marry, but we don't get as complicated in those fantasies. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you are still dreaming this day? You may be married and going, I really wish it would look like this. See, it's interesting as sometimes our expectations of what we hope marriage will be seems to fall short of what it actually is. And you and I can look around today and we see that whatever stats you look at, and it's been this way for years, that over 50% of marriages fail. And that's even with Christians. This should be utterly disturbing to us and horrifying. Think about it. In any other area of your life, if you were told that there would be 50% of a chance that you would lose it, something extremely important to you, don't you think you would seriously approach it? You would be very intentional in your preparation. You would do everything possible to eliminate the potential dangers of losing that thing or that person that you value. In other words, if you have children and somebody told you, today as you depart for wherever you go, whether you're leaving this place here at Grace or going somewhere else, and there was going to be a 50% chance that your child could be killed in a car wreck, wouldn't you do something to try to protect them? You would make sure that the person driving has a really, really clean driving record. You would put a helmet on them. You would put bubble wrap around them. You would do something to make sure that your child was guarded and protected. You'd have them go a different route than they normally do. You do something. Or if I told you there's a 50% chance that when you go to the mailbox, you will be attacked by a bear, wouldn't you do something to protect yourself? You'd wear some full armor. You'd be ready with some weapons. Bear spray. Exactly. Exactly. Bear spray. That was coming up. You would do something. It may not happen, but it could. There are bears around here. See, I would argue the reason that marriages are struggling is because so often people are not actually spiritually prepared to be in the marriage that honors God. Is a God-honoring marriage possible? Absolutely, yes. We have examples here. You have examples in your life where you've seen a God-honoring marriage, and I hope it's your marriage. But it's not likely for that to be the case if you follow the path that so many people follow today. And that's why for these 4 weeks, we're going to look at these vows and these priorities. Because Jesus loves you so much that he wants you to either be prepared for the gift of marriage that he's given us or for you to work on your marriage that he's given you if you're already married. And he wants you to stay married and enjoy this gift of marriage for life. Because that's how he's created it. And so I want to give credit as we do this series to Craig Groeschel, who I took this series from and edited it to make it fit for us. So if you're taking notes today on your little sheet, we're going to look at the vow of priority, as you can see in the front. And keeping the priorities in the proper place in our relationships is what we're really talking about. So I want to start with a very common belief in our world today in regards to relationships. I don't know if we heard it from Disney princess movies or from songs or movies in general, but there is this belief that in order to be fulfilled in your marriage relationships, You have to find the one perfect person that makes the hair on your neck stand up whenever you smell them, or that music, words of songs are now so different now that they're in your life. When you listen to a song on Spotify or Amazon Music or Apple Music, the song makes sense because of the one. What I'm hoping is that after this message, there'll be some of you who have a different perspective. Instead of saying to be fulfilled in life, I need to find the one. And ladies, maybe you're saying this about the one. He's so cute. I mean, he doesn't play video games like the last three guys that I went out with. He doesn't talk about the PS5 coming out at Christmas. Like, he's got a job. He's so amazing. And ladies, maybe you're saying things like this. She's so cute. I just love when she worships. She's kind of a pistol, but I like it. I found the one. And instead of you saying, I think I found the one, what I want you to hopefully say is, I think I just found my two. They're so amazing. They love Jesus. He follows Christ. She worships the Lord. She's a prayer warrior. I met the two. Why would we be excited about meeting the two? Well, if you're taking notes, this is why. Jesus is your one, and your spouse is your two. Jesus is your one, and your spouse is your two. Even Jesus said this really clearly in Scripture when a Pharisee who was an attorney was coming up to him, and he says, hey, Lord, what's the most important command? And what does Jesus tell him? Above all else, make God number one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then, so God is first, and then people are next. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So to really have a marriage that honors God, we have to put God first in our relationship, and then our spouse is number two. Now, for those of you that are not married, this is your vow that you can write down on your piece of paper. If you hope to be married at some point, this is your vow. I'll seek the one while preparing for my two. I'll seek the one, God, while preparing for my two. It's a little bit like this young lady who was a Christian lady, went off to college, and as can happen in college sometimes, our faith strays, and she got involved in the party scene and everything that comes with it. And one day at a party, she met a wonderful young man. She was so excited about meeting this guy that she called her mom, because I think that's what daughters do a lot of times. And she says to her mom, this is the guy. He's perfect. He's godly. He's a leader. I think he's just amazing. And the mom said to her very tenderly, but very honestly and truthfully, sweetheart, if this guy is all that you have said he is, a guy like that is not looking for a girl like you. It's just the way it is. I've heard it said before in this way, and you can write this down in your notes. Become the person that you're looking for is looking for. Become the person that you're looking for is looking for. In other words, while you're looking for that person, you're going to seek the one. You're going to seek Christ. He's going to be your King and Savior and Lord over your life. And he's preparing you for someone that you can serve him with. But no matter what, even when you find that other person, he's always going to be your one. Jesus is always going to be your one. So I'll seek the one while he prepares me to meet my two. And if you're married this morning, this is your vow. So you can jot it down. I promise Jesus will be my first priority, and my spouse will be my second. Jesus will be my first priority, and my spouse my second. And this really comes from our Old Testament reading, Genesis chapter 2. Where Adam was living, there was no suitable helper for him. God said, hey, this isn't good. You know, there's giraffes. You can't marry a giraffe. That won't work. He can't elope with an antelope. That's not going to work. So we got to create somebody for poor Adam. And so he puts him in a deep sleep and takes his rib, and out comes Eve. And Adam saw her, and what does he say? Whoa, man. And her name's woman. Simple as that. It's the way it goes. Be here all week. Then Genesis 2:24. So what happens? What is supposed to happen in life? A man leaves his father and his mother and is united to his wife. Leaves his father and mother, and they become one flesh. And this word leaves is from the Hebrew word azab. And it means to depart, to loosen, to relinquish. So you leave that priority relationship that you originally had of your parents or your guardians. You leave them to go to your spouse, who's now your main human relationship in life when you marry. Your God is your one, and your spouse is your two, your primary human relationship after God. Now, here's some problems that can happen, and I wish I had time to unpack this, but I can't. If you have questions about it, you can call me this week. Sometimes when God is not our one, and we put our spouse or our kids or friends or even not people, but entertainment, money, power in the place where God is at, that is called what? An idol. Right? And when we have idols, life does not work the way that God has intended. So if I put my wife in the place where God is supposed to be, I'm going to be disappointed in her, because I'm putting her in a place that, and putting burdens on her that she was never intended to carry. She was never created to carry the burden of being in the spot where God is supposed to be. And so I'm going to be disappointed with her because she's not going to live up to what I thought she should live up to. And so what I've done is I put her there and I've made her an idol. And it's really unfair to her, and it's really unfair to you as well, because God is the one who's supposed to be at the one spot, and your spouse at the second spot. God is one, your spouse is two. And so here's the deal. If you're married today and you're struggling in any way, I can almost guarantee you can trace your struggles to the root issue that you're not putting God first, that Christ is not at the center of your relationship. You want your marriage to grow? Be in worship together as you're doing here. Be in God's word together. Spend time in prayer, both together with your spouse and by yourself. Serve him in the church together. Seek him every single day. Be centered around God's word. When you blow it with your spouse, ask him or her for forgiveness. And don't just hear, oh, that's okay. Make sure they say, I forgive you. That's okay could mean that they've forgiven you, and could mean they haven't. Practice repentance. Just like Jesus has shown us, he's forgiven us, as he did earlier today, as he will through his body and blood of Christ. Practice that. When you don't put God first, ask for forgiveness from him, and he'll forgive you. And you can try again. See, making that's how you make Jesus first. Now let's get really practical in how you make your spouse your number two. You need to date while you're married. And what I mean by that is, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You know, so right now, when movie theaters are closed and maybe you're uncomfortable going to a restaurant, you can put the kids to bed and you can have dinner at home, or you can share a Lutheran beverage on the patio at like 9 or 10 when it's a little cooler outside. And you know what you can do? You can talk. You can have a conversation with each other. You can play a board game together. You can do a lot of things that are free. You can walk around the great public open spaces that we have in our community, in your neighborhood. I suggest you have a time where, if you have kids especially, you as husband and wife, go out of town just by yourself. Once a year if possible. It's hard sometimes. About this time last year, we were here interviewing, Sarah and I, and we had just come back from Puerto Rico. That was the first trip we ever had left our kids in 10 years of marriage. And we decided, man, we need to do this more often. But even that, one time, our kids went, well, why are y'all not taking us? What's going on? And we said, you know what? Our marriage is so important. Our relationship is so important that we want to spend time together so we're better parents for you. We want to love one another so we can love you. So I suggest that. Another thing I'm trying to work on is mama gets the first kiss. When I walk into the house, I want to make sure my kids see that my wife gets the first kiss. And then I kiss my kids. Now, I don't always do this right. I'm still working on it. And it's okay if you don't get it right. It's just something I'm trying very intentional to try to show my kids that my wife matters. That she's important. And friends, just real quick, don't be child-centered in your relationship if at all possible. Where you're like 20 years down the road and you're like, hi, I'm Danny. Who are you? Like, I don't know who you are. That doesn't mean don't love your kids. I've got four of them. I'm not telling you to not love your kids. Kids are a gift from God, but so is your marriage. They both are. If you want to love your kids, prioritize your marriage. One of the best ways you can be a blessing to your children is to strengthen your marriage. And, you know, here's what you need to know. Children are a temporary assignment, but it's a permanent blessing, but temporary assignment. You'll have them for 18, 19 years, maybe 30. And then it's healthy. It's healthy to push them out and say, you go serve Jesus. You go on your own. Fly away, little birdie. It's healthy to do that. They're a temporary assignment. But your marriage is till death do us part. It's not until we're not happy anymore. It's not until you're not meeting my needs anymore. It's not until another model comes along. It's till death do us part. It's a permanent, God-honoring commitment. And that's why we have to prioritize it even above your children. Now, you may be like, oh, hold on, man. That's a little controversial. What are you talking about? God's one, your spouse is two, and your children and your family is like 2B. Okay? But you still got to prioritize. And that doesn't mean like, hey, when somebody gets sick, you're not caring for them. You still clothe. You still feed and water them. You still clothe them, especially the boys, because they'll go around without clothes otherwise. But if you want your children to succeed in marriage, show them what a God-honoring marriage looks like. And where do we get this? Well, in our epistle reading, what does Jesus say? He's comparing his relationship with you and I, that we're his bride. Okay, so look at how Jesus loved. What were his priorities? His first priority was who? His one was his Father. And two was who? His bride, his church, his people, you. And what did he do? He gave up everything for you and I. And honestly, we trade him in for a new model all the time. When we have idols, that's what we do. When we say, you know what, God, I got a better plan than you do for me, we kind of kick him to the curb. And what does he do? He doesn't say, you know what, I've had it. He says, I still love you. And I forgive you. You matter to me. So much so that I paid the price for you so that you would be redeemed and you would be my bride that I adore and that I love. So friends, as we go through this series, I pray it brings you growth in your married relationship, but also in other relationships. Because if you're putting other relationships above Christ, those aren't going to work either. So focus on Christ, your spouse, kids, and others. Amen. Please rise.